Hi, I'm Stephen Puddicombe. This is another episode in CFMWS's podcast series about grief and bereavement. In this episode, we see through the eyes of a military padre. Major Ryan Carter is a senior chaplain of the support group in Ottawa, Gatineau. He says dealing with grief is an enormous challenge in the military.
I think the biggest challenge is the human dynamic of grief, in the sense that everybody experiences grief very differently. And when we enter into a space where someone is grieving the loss of someone they've cared about, you know, we've entered into a space which is very vulnerable. And we ourselves are vulnerable as chaplains, you know, despite being trained to deal with these sort of situations. Everybody enters into that space differently, with different reactions, different responses to those expressions of emotion. So I think for chaplains, the hardest part, in my experience, has really been figuring out how to enter into that space with confidence, with care, and ensuring that that person is being taken care of without letting my own responses and emotions kind of take over the sacredness of that moment or that space. Every chaplain needs a chaplain. And because of our job and what we do with respect to dealing with life passages, you know, whether it be the good stuff, you know, birth and marriage and that kind of stuff, but also the not so good stuff, that's, you know, typically elicits, you know, sad emotions. You know, it could be the loss of a relationship or, of course, in the case of death. I need to process that. And I need to be acknowledging of the fact that if I'm not able to be present with a person completely, then I need help myself. Part of the process that we do as chaplains is self-care. And I think most chaplains have developed this competency where we're able to say, okay, in this moment in time, before I enter into the space, am I okay to do it? And how could I enter into the space without taking it over with my own emotions or my own expressions of, you know, my own experiences? And I think that's really critical.
What do you do about those people that are in this situation? You know they're hurting, but they keep it bottled up. They just can't release. To you or anyone for that matter, what do you do for them?
Well, first of all, you know, you look at grief as a process. You know, it's a journey, and it's a human process that we have to go through. And at any point in time, some people, you know, all of us, stop at a certain point. And, you know, to process that grief, sometimes it's just a matter of acknowledging where you're at in that moment of time. I've never been in a situation where someone who I've been in communication with or had a chaplain relationship with has just outrightly stated to me, you know, I'm sad, I'm vulnerable, help me, chaplain, you know, Carter. It's never been that way. And part of trust is just understanding. I mean, we use the word trust. I mean, oftentimes they, you know, with family members, they may not trust us. Right. And it's very obvious. I mean, if they associate the, you know, this occupation with the death of their loved ones, they may not trust you in this moment. And that's understandable. Right. In the past, if they've identified perhaps religious figures or religious people or religious leaders as not being trustworthy, they may not be comfortable with you. So we have to acknowledge there's a whole bunch of things happening in the background that may prevent that trust relationship from being built. But I think with time, with individuals, and just acknowledging silence and just being with them where they're at, eventually they begin, in my experience, trust is, it comes. And really, when I say trust, what I really mean is safety. You know, like they feel safe to say, okay, now I'm actually feeling this way. Now I feel sad, you know. And I think that happens with time. But the worst thing you can do is to rush the process. And the minute you rush it, then that sensation of you're in this for a particular motive, or you're doing this because it's your job, or you're busy, and, you know, in 20 minutes you have to go back to your office. I mean, all those things are happening. And if you rush the process, it really, in my experience, has deterred the the trust building process with helping professionals in general, but of course with chaplains.
As a padre, is there a difference depending on how the person passed, like in war, a traffic accident, or, you know, worse than that?
Well, of course, yeah. And, you know, part of the grief process is the search for meaning. And, you know, when someone's not with us, that meaning is kind of lost. So we're looking for meaning behind, you know, the experience of death. And clearly, you know, if somebody someone suddenly dies for a number of reasons, but, you know, a sudden death, that human need to understand the moment, to make sense of it, is stunted. And then the process of sense making is very difficult. When it comes to things, you know, if you're in the military and you die in operations, however tragic and traumatic that is for family members to hear and to experience, it's very different than a situation where that death is sudden, not related to your occupational, choice. You know, all those things are happening in the case of sudden death, terminal illness, even suicide. You know, all those things elicit different responses. And how I express it, how I understand it, is that search for meaning, it becomes more difficult when the death doesn't make sense to you, you know, and it just doesn't, why, you know, like we were just talking and you left and now you're gone. And whereas someone who, you know, in the course of their duty, you know, they die, perhaps that search for meaning is a little bit different. I wouldn't say it's less, you know, I wouldn't say it's more difficult or less difficult, but it's just different. And I think that's the challenge. And oftentimes when I see family members experiencing grief, even myself, you know, if I've experienced grief myself, the question is, you know, why? You know, we're always looking for that question, why? And what happened? You know, why did this moment take place? Could it have been different? So depending on the circumstances of death, I think it does change the dynamic of grief a little. But I always caveat, it doesn't make it easier. It just makes it that search for meaning perhaps a little less ambiguous.
Is there one case or person that particularly touched you? I'm sure everyone does to some point, but is there that one case that really stands out when you think about what you're doing that you look back on and say, wow?
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably, there are a number, but I mean, I remember, you know, for me, the most difficult challenge, the most difficult case is, of course, the loss of a child, right? And expressing that to family members. And, you know, I had always found it's such a beautiful, well, it's beautiful to witness that in the face of such, you know, sadness, the loss of a young person in their adolescence, you know, military, proud, you know, ever since they were really small kids, they dreamed of it. And then for a number of reasons, they die. It's seeing how family and support systems come into place to help the family grieve. And, it may seem kind of mundane, but, you know, when I see family get together and people coming together to support community, people who don't really know them really personally come together, it really shows the importance of community and support in these things. And I was amazed at one point in time when I'm always amazed. Again, this is what always amazes me, when parents, particularly parents, come up at a military ceremony and speak about their son or daughter. I'll always maintain that I've never understood how someone can do that. You know, like, you're going in front of an audience of people and you're saying that my son or daughter is dead. And these are some good stories or memories we have about them. That strength that's required is just astonishing to me. Because in that moment, I have no idea. I'm witnessing this as a chaplain. I'm looking at this, I'm like, wow. Like, I don't know what I would do in that circumstance. I had a hard time doing the eulogy for my grandmother. You know, she was so dear to me that when I lost her during COVID, I couldn't finish the speech. You know, I came to the very end, but I had a hard time finishing the speech. So not doing that for one of my children, or it's just even more, it intensifies that emotion. So
what would you like to see change in terms of how we deal with grief in the military?
Well, there are a couple of things which I think, the military, because, you know, death and grief have always been part and parcel of our job. We do some things that are good with respect to, like, memorials and, you know, the rituals we have in remembering the dead, the cenotaphs and Remembrance Day, and those civic rituals are a great reminder about what we do as an occupation and as a vocation. I think, broadly speaking, culturally, we still have a tendency, because, I mean, again, you know, military culture, you know, we're very much, in military culture, we very much experience the same sort of cultural trends as, you know, as mainstream society. And I find that we've tended to individualize grief far too much, in the sense that we see grief as individual process, like an individual psychosocial process, and which makes it sort of upon the person to resolve, more than it being a responsibility upon the community to help heal. And why I say this is because, and again, I'm part of the culture, and I know this myself, that when I have lost somebody, instinctively, I don't necessarily want help from people. I don't necessarily want help from people. I want to just process it myself. And, you know, if I need to cry, I go in a private place and get back to work. And one time when I experienced that, when I did that, I thought to myself, my goodness, how unnatural is that? Why am I doing this? You know, I'm encouraging people to reach out to support systems and to receive help from, you know, family, friends, you know, religious groups, whatever. And I'm just sitting in a corner and just wanting to hold it in. And that's not natural. That's not natural. And I think that if we understand grief to be a process which is should be experienced in community, and that could be family, you know, and, you know, a military family, our relationships, if we see it in the context of community, then the process is very different, right? And I think the healing process is much, much better when it's experienced in the context of family and community. So the more we highlight grief as an individual experience and dealing with it just individually, we're not discounting the individual factors. We understand that. You know, people may need to get individual help. We understand that. But in my experience, I've seen, you know, sort of three different ways of dealing with grief. One of them is to say, I have a family, I have a community. I want to deal with grief in the context of community, and the community is there to help them, to support them, to love them, to care for them. And everyone is doing it the same way. You know, everyone's doing it. And I found those families to have been cared for. Like, at a certain point, they didn't really need me, you know. And then you have other families who are experiencing shame at the loss, who don't know how to deal with it, who perhaps it was a very small family, or perhaps the family is in a different part of Canada and they're experiencing grief individually and they're struggling to manage the emotions, you know. And it's very sad to see that. It's very sad to see that, and because they need that community. And the other side of individuals is that, You know, they just they disengage. You know, they disengage. They're afraid to deal with the process of grief. They're afraid to really talk about the story. They're angry for a number of reasons. And those are the most difficult things to experience. And I think as a culture, we need to be around all those three categories. You know, as a military, we need to really build that community of care for people experiencing grief, which at the moment in time we're doing, you know, we're doing it. But I think the more we talk about grief as a communal experience, the more help people will get, rather than saying, okay, you have an individualized problem, let's pathologize you in a particular way, you know, and you move along with that process. Here's a book about the stages of grief. You know, to me, that's not very helpful.
Brian, thank you for joining us on this podcast.
It's been an honor and pleasure. Thanks so much.
Major Ryan Carter is a senior chaplain of the support group in Ottawa Gatineau. Thank you for listening to another of CMFWS's podcasts on grief and bereavement. If you have any comments or questions, please send them to us via the email provided on the webpage. See you next time.